Are you having dark thoughts about your tapper right now, James?
Primus Rossi asked. I glanced back up at her. Not really, I lied. I was just wondering how much you guys really know about my personal life. How much you're tracking about all of us. She nodded.
It is disturbing, but it's for the best. The real answer is that we know everything and nothing at the same time.
What's that mean?
What I'm saying is that yes, masses of details are tracked by our tappers. They store measured autonomic impulses going back a decade, and we can use that data to calculate what you were doing on any particular Thursday in May. But we generally don't bother to do so. All of that data stays private unless we have a reason to delve into it.
I nodded. So you're saying we have all the privacy in the world until someone shines a light on us. Then we turn into a bug under a shoe.
That's about right.
Sighing, I thought for a moment about how I could explain myself. The Primus had some good points. I was a darker-minded individual than I'd been years back, when I'd first stepped into the door of the mustering hall and signed up with the only legion that would have me. Primus, I began. How many people have you killed? She looked surprised.
I don't see.
It's a simple enough question. Humor me. Count people you shot in training. I'm sure even you hegemony types have to participate in live fire exercises. How many times did you end the life of another human being? Rossi hesitated. I could tell I'd gotten her to think. Her lips squirmed for a moment. Thinking of a lie? I asked her. Your tapper knows you're doing that. The fact will be tracked forever.
Certainly not, she snapped. I fail to see the point of your inquiry, but I've killed exactly one person. In a live fire drill.
Was it up close?
No, I did it with a snap rifle.
Did you look over the body afterward? Did you see those shocked eyes, wide and staring up at nothing? She hesitated again.
I don't see...
Never mind, I said. Don't bother to answer. I can read it in your face, just like your tapper can. You did see the face of the man you killed, and I can tell from the way you're reacting that it was a disturbing experience for you. She shrugged.
All right. You've made your point. I suppose you're going to claim now that killing people for a living changes people, that we can't expect a veteran of numerous conflicts to be a stellar...
Leaning forward, suddenly I gave her a crazed look. That part came naturally to me. I didn't have to manufacture any of it.
You're not getting it, I said. Not quite. My tapper has other data in it. Kills, estimated kills. You know how many times I've looked into the eyes of a human I've murdered? They didn't all come back, either. How many times have you permed another person?
She shook her head.
Well, I've done it a number of times. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of times by now.
Rossi was trying not to recoil from me, but I could tell she wanted to shrink back into her seat. In my mind's eye, I could see dead faces. And there were countless more who I'd slain with big equipment at a comfortable distance.
And if you're including aliens, I continued, laughing ruefully,
let's not even go there. Millions. I've killed millions. Quite possibly I'm the biggest murderer living on this planet today, except maybe for Claver. Claver was an interesting man from my past. He'd started off as a corrupt officer in Legion Germanica and ended up as an independent operator between the stars. As far as I knew, he was the only human trader out there who broke all the rules of the Galactic Empire and who had thus far gotten away with it. He and I presided over some serious disasters in the past, and people who got in the way had often lost their lives. Rossi's eyes flicked down to her computer to verify my words, and when she looked back up again, she appeared to be startled. I said grimly, "Does it say I'm a big-time murderer? That I'm telling the truth?"
"The truth, as best you know it."
I nodded and sat back again. "So now you know. I'm different for a reason. I'm a killer. You people made me like this. You, Legion Varus, and several planets full of hostile aliens. But at the same time, that's exactly why I'm here. Earth needs her best killers now." Rossi licked her lips.
Her expression and her manner had shifted. She sucked in a breath and released it. I noticed how her eyes avoided mine.
Millions, she whispered under her breath. How?
Not everything is in my tapper, Primus. A lot of the best stuff has been deleted. She glanced at her screens again, then back at me, alarmed all over again.
The data core breach?
I shrugged noncommittally. Could be. Do you have any more questions for me? She thought about it for several long seconds. We sat there in silence, listening to the air traffic outside the pyramid-like walls of Central.
No,
she said at last.
I don't think I want to know anything else.
You're right. You don't, I told her. You really don't. She stood up and extended her hand. I stood up and shook it.
Congratulations, Adjunct McGill.
Thank you, sir. I slipped on my jacket and my cap. She watched me as I moved toward the door.
McGill,
she called as I was about to leave. I turned, eyebrows raised. She looked smaller to me now. The attitude on her face had shifted. She wore a new expression of concern rather than scorn or severity. Sir?
Could you try to kill only aliens from now on?
She asked.
The ones that need killing.
Nodding, I flashed her a smile. I'll do my damnedest.
Thanks.
Leaving Primus Rossi behind, I rode the elevator to the ground floor lobby. My ears cracked twice on the way down. It felt good to be outside again in the crisp November air. Central had been like a prison for the last few days, but I'd finally slid past all the bureaucrats. They'd taken a hard look under my hood, and they'd promptly slammed it back down again, shuddering. That was just fine with me. Chapter 2. As a newly minted officer, my first duty didn't come from my Legion superiors, it came from higher up. From Equestrian Nagata, in fact. He was my 3-star patron inside Central, and he was the one who'd promoted me, which meant I owed him one. He'd made it clear to me a month ago that I was to keep tabs on his arch-rival, Imperator Turov. Both Nagata and Turov were hegemony brass, which should have meant a spacer from Legion Varus couldn't care less. But I had a history with Turov back to the days when she was part of my Legion. Spying on Turov didn't qualify as hardship duty under normal circumstances. I'd come to get along with the woman in my own way. We had a semi-inappropriate relationship, in fact, which afforded me a good excuse to check up on her. Unfortunately, Turov was at least as smart as Nagata. She knew full well that Nagata wanted me to spy on her. I'd sent her multiple texts on my tapper and even phoned her a few times, but she'd never bothered to respond. Frustrated, I prowled around in Central City uncertain what I should do. I could just go on home. I'd only seen my folks briefly before getting involved in all the cloak-and-dagger politics at the Capitol. That's what I really wanted to do. But I knew Nagata would be calling on me soon, expecting some kind of report. With nothing to give him, I wasn't ready yet to take a vacation. Legion life wasn't so bad when you weren't out plundering planets or protecting cargoes. In between missions, due to the long and intensive nature of our work, we were allowed to demobilize and wander the Earth as we chose. We were on call, naturally, expected to report in our full kits within 24 hours of a summons. Other than that, we were free men, one and all. But today I didn't feel relaxed and free. Instead, I felt like a leashed tiger who hadn't been fed dinner yet. On a hunch, I headed out to Turov's residence. I've only been there once before, and things hadn't been entirely cordial between us on that occasion. After spending a full quarter hour leaning on her door buzzer, identifying myself repeatedly to the dumbass house AI and generally making a pest out of myself, I gave up. I summoned a cab with my tapper and waited irritably for it to show up. Arms crossed, watching the sparse traffic gliding in the sky over the posh neighborhood Turov lived in, I felt like a failure.
Turov wasn't going to let me into her house when she didn't even want to meet me at her office. Nagata wasn't going to like this turn of events. I was supposed to be his wonder boy, the man who'd stormed Central, erased the data core, and gotten away with it. How could a few locks and tapper autoresponders get in the way of such a technological dynamo? The truth was, of course, that I hadn't really done much of the nerd work when I'd pulled off that stunt. Claver had done the tricky stuff. I'd been dragged along as the muscle, not the brains, of the team. Finally, after several more minutes, a dark shadow drifted down to settle on the street in front of me. I had to hop back onto the curb because it almost squashed me. Ready to curse out the air car driver, I popped open the hatch and leaned inside. My glare melted away. Instead of a pushy driver, I found a young woman at the wheel. She was a hot one, too. Even more surprising, I knew her very well. It was none other than Imperator Galina Turov. She was out of uniform, way out. She had one of those skin-tight, smart outfits the college girls all seemed to be wearing this year. The garment was programmed to crawl over her body, revealing various ovals of fine skin at random intervals. As I stared at her, open-mouthed, her navel appeared and vanished again, like a winking eye. It was a very distracting effect. I said, Imperator, are you just arriving home?
No, you big idiot. I finally got tired of having you buzz my tapper all damn day long. Don't you know I'm on leave?
Yes, of course I do. I am too.
So why are you bothering the hell out of me?
My eyes weren't on hers. Her clothing had shifted from a midnight blue to an acidic greenish black. Two holes had opened up in the costume, one over each thigh. These spots of bare flesh winked at me like eyes. "Sorry about that," I said. "I just thought you'd like to see my new bars." I fingered the gold bars on my shoulders. She eyed them without seeming overly impressed.
"Finally made the officer ranks, did you? What did you have to do for Nagata to get those?"
Frowning, I shrugged. "Nothing much. I just died about 1,000 times." She smiled for the first time.
"No,"
she said.
"That's not it. No one gets rank for dying. You earned it for killing the enemy."
"That too." She looked me over, frankly, running her eyes up and down my person.
"Get in,"
she said at last.
"I'll give you a ride back to Central."
As my cab ride had showed no sign of arriving any time soon, I did as she asked, and the hatch clicked closed. "How did you know I was going back to Central?" She shrugged.
"You're gathering information for Nagata, right? Well, now you have at least made contact with the Mark."
"Hmm," I said thoughtfully. "You don't seem too worked up about this situation."
"Why should I be? You're my agent too, remember?"
That did spark an unpleasant reminder in my brain. I'd made a deal with her months back. I'd said that if she stopped to investigate L-374, I'd work for her instead of Nagata. I was regretting that promise already. "But I was right," I said. "I led you right to the enemy you were seeking. That's not a favor. You should be happy that I convinced you to stop at that K-class system."
"Going back on your word?"
she asked.
"I don't like that."
"I didn't say that. I just think..."
"Tell me something about Nagata. What are his plans?"
I hesitated. The truth was I didn't have much insight into what he was up to, but admitting that wasn't going to put her into a forgiving mood.
"You have to know something,"
she insisted.
"If you tell me something useful, I'll give you a gem to take back to him. That way, everyone will be happy."
"Okay," I said. "I know he's planning something big. A full gathering of Earth's fleet. I think we'll be shipping out toward the cephalopod kingdom." She made a careless flipping motion with her hand.
"I know about that. Everyone knows about that. Tell me something that involves him personally."
I racked my brain, but I didn't come up with much. He knows I was in on the hit at Central.
How?
He managed to get camera stills from various body cams. We wiped the data core, but the individual devices still had a small amount of video they hadn't streamed up to the servers yet.
Ah, she said, nodding. So he knows you were in on it. How the hell did you get out of prison in that case?
I shrugged. Plausible deniability.
Meaning?
I showed him Claver's illusion box. I changed my face into his, and he freaked out. She frowned.
Too bad he knows about that. Harder to trick him again. But I suppose you had no choice. Continue.
My mind was a blank. Nagata hadn't told me much more than that. But as was often the case in such situations, my fertile imagination began to fill in the details. I think he knows we're in trouble. With the squids, I mean. She looked at me, her eyes widening.
They might strike first?
They might.
Damn. Why don't the staff officers trust me? I haven't been briefed on enemy strength or intentions. All they've been going over is some grandiose plan to strike deep into enemy territory as soon as they have enough ships to carry all our legions.
I kept quiet. My hint of squid preemptive talks was logical, of course, but it was just a rumor. Nagata hadn't said any such thing. Already I regretted relaying the story to Turov. It had really come off the streets rather than Central. Who knew, it could be true, or it could be total bullshit.
All right,
she said.
You've been open with me, so I'll give you something to take back to him. He'll be expecting that.
Okay.
Tell him that I've been buying expensive things. Very expensive things. He knows how much an Imperator makes, and it's less than he does. I've been spending way beyond my means as a hegemony officer.
Now that she mentioned it, I realized she was right. The air car, the posh residence, the smart cloth suit, this stuff hadn't come cheap. Where'd you get the money?
It's a mystery, she said. You have no idea, but you felt you should report it. You'll also need a cover story concerning how you got close to me. How did you trick me into revealing myself to you?
I don't know. It was about then that I realized we were landing. Confused, I looked outside the canopy in order to figure out where we were. It looked like some kind of wooded area outside the capital. While we drifted down like a leaf on the winds, she talked steadily about her displays of wealth. Apparently, she now owned a boat and several vacation homes. Listening closely so I could report on all this later, I couldn't help but notice that a new teardrop-shaped opening had appeared in her clothes. The opening crept from somewhere under her arm, I think, then moved across her belly diagonally. It inched along like a caterpillar, and it got bigger as it went, revealing more. By the time it reached her hip and vanished on the far side of her, I'd seen quite a bit of nice territory. My eyes were drawn into an unblinking stare. But, I said, you haven't mentioned the cover story. She laughed, and the rest of her suit crawled away from her body to reveal her bare flesh. She slithered across the seat into my lap. Putting my hands on her, I finally caught on. She was the cover story. I was supposed to tell Nagata she'd ravaged me in the woods somewhere. The funny thing was, it would be the God's honest truth.
We hope you enjoyed this free preview of Homeworld, Book 6 in the Undying Mercenary series. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.